And actually, he was praying for 12 years with nothing. He hadn't heard from God. So that tells me that he had heard from God before. He would spoke to God and God would answer him. But for 12 years, nothing was happening. So the prophet Habakkuk, he was complaining to God about how wicked Judah had become. And he's asking him, can we put that up, Chris? Put the scriptures up, Habakkuk. Yeah, there you go. 1-5. Put 1-4 up, will you? Okay. He's saying, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save." Go to the next one. "Why do you not show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises." Go to the next one. "And therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked are surrounded the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch this." Now God is answering, and we'll stop right here. So God finally says something. He said, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days at which you will not believe, though if it were told to you." So all this time, he's been praying, and he hears nothing. So then God tells him later on what he's going to do. And Habakkuk thinks it's too severe because he's speaking for the people. But God was going to use another nation to judge that nation to bring about good back into the nation. So, let me see. Okay. So, actually, his name, Habakkuk, means wrestler, or he clings. He clings to God. So all this time he'd been praying. So God is working out. In other words, what I'm saying is, if we are waiting on answers, we're going to walk by faith, we're going to believe God, and wait for him to do what he does. And he's going to work it out for our good. So don't judge God by your circumstances. Judge God by what you know his unchangeable character to be. Okay? So I looked up character and I couldn't write them all down. It was like 100 of them for God. For God, the characters of God. So I'll just tell you a few of them. God is love. It's in 1 John 4:8. He's always the same. He never changes. In Hebrews 13:8. 2 Peter 3:9. He is patient. 1 John 1:5. God is light. James 1:17. He only gives good and perfect gifts. So God, if you're getting bad gifts, it's not from God. All good perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. Galatians 5:22. He is all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, all of them things. Now you could make a list and just bring him to remembrance when you're in hard times of who he is and what he does. He's our healer, deliverer. You know, he is good. God is always good. So, and I got here. Now, Pastor Clarence, I always say make a marker in your life. Something like when Israel would do something, they'd make a memorial. They'd make something they could look back on what God has done for them. So when they go through them hard times, that they can look back and remember. So that's what our testimony is all about. We remember what God has brought us through. So I always make markers in my life. And Pastor Clarence, I was sharing last week of how he was in the car and how he should have been driving. And that fella, did he pass away? He died, right? He was supposed to be in that car. I don't know if you can, I won't go tell the whole story, but He was supposed to be driving because he was supposed to, the guy was going to drive the next town and he was going to change seats and he was going to be driving. And the guy drove right on through the town and wound up with a tree limb came through and killed him, and the rest, the other three were hurt, and he didn't. He only had a scratch. So that's a marker in his life of the goodness of God and how he could have been taken out already, but God's got a plan for that man. So I'll make a, I got a lot of markers in my life, and that note, about 2 years ago, was it about 2 years I cut that tree down? About 2 years ago, we had a big ash tree by our deck, and it was pretty big. And I was up there trimming that baby, you know, and I got it all trimmed out, and I'm getting ready to cut it down. So I'm up about 30 feet, and I put the ladder up on the deck to give me a little more height so I could get up a little higher. But I didn't realize when I stepped off the ladder, it had slid a little bit. So the ladder was balancing itself on the deck railing. So I just stepped off that thing. I stepped off the branch and stepped on that limb. I mean, down on that ladder, and down I come. And all I heard her saying was, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." And I'm waiting to hit my back on that deck railing or my head on that deck railing. But somehow I got turned sideways and I come down, and that tree was close to the deck. And I came down right, instead of coming down this way, I come sideways on that thing. And I don't know how in the world I got that way. But I come down and I smacked on the ground, but I landed where the bushes were and the mulch was. And all I heard was, "Ugh." That's all I heard. And she says, "Lowell, are you okay?" And I said, "I'm not moving till I see what's broke." But actually, I was fine. I got up, but it was just one of those things that's a marker in my life. And there was another one. Like I'll tell you this one. When I was in Vietnam, we were on search and destroy missions all the time. In other words, we'd leave from Da Nang Air Base, and we'd get on the choppers, and they'd take us out, and they'd drop us off someplace we never knew where, and we'd fight our way back for 3 days. They'd pick us up, we'd take ourselves back, clean ourselves up for a day, and out we go again. Well, after a time, there was a safe zone in Saigon. They says, "Okay," they picked, and my name come up. I could go to Saigon. I could take a break, get a little R&R. Which, if you were a soldier back then, that was great. So that was party time for me. I wasn't saved. So they said, "What we want you to do is you can't go until you get a haircut," talking to me, because my hair was constantly getting long. So they wanted you to go into town, but they wanted you to look like a sharp soldier. So I went to get a haircut. So I'm standing in line. There's a big line. So I finally got my haircut. It took me about an hour and a half. By the time I got back, the truck was gone. And I was ticked. That meant I wouldn't be able to go for a while yet. So what happened was, about 3 hours later, I found out that the truck had hit a landmine and blew it up. So all them guys were lost, and I was still here. So that's a marker in my life. So that's only one time. There's many I could tell you about that place, but I don't want to get into that. But the greatest marker I got in my life is really, you probably won't even believe when I tell you this. Some of these people I know I've told it before. When I was like 12 years old, I got sucker punched and I lost a tooth. I got a plate and I got a tooth on it. One tooth was on this plate. Well, from 12 to 16... I didn't have a tooth, so I was constantly, when I smile, I still do it, I smile crooked, because I had a complex about it. So my aunt, finally, she met this guy who's in the mafia who makes false teeth. So he said, "I'll make you a tooth, you wash and wax my car," his Cadillac. So I did it, and he made me a tooth. Well, I was so proud of that thing. So about One day we was out water skiing in the lake, and this is where it really gets strange. We was water skiing, and we got done, so I was getting in the boat. Well, when I leaned over the boat, I sneezed. Lost my tooth. So it's crazy. It's tell on, let's go. You'll never find it. So we left. So here's the crazy part. The next day, I just met this girl, and she had never seen me without my tooth. So I said, I was like 16 then, and I just said a little kid's prayer. I didn't know anything about God or anything. I said, God, help me find my tooth. So I called my buddy, and I said, Harold, would you come with me? And he says, well, where are we going? I said, I lost my tooth in a lake, and I want to go see if I could find it. And he says, okay, I'll pick you up. So we go to the lake, and I'm standing out here in this body of water, and I'm trying to figure out whereabouts I was. And I couldn't get it exactly right. So I said, you start over here, I'll start over here. We'll just swim around. You can't hardly see on the bottom of the lake anyhow, but we're swimming around. And he put up with me for about an hour looking for that tooth. So he said, I'm out of here, man, and we're leaving. So I said, okay. So I stood up. At last second, I stood up, and I'm in water about to hear. And I said, Harold, I feel something under my foot. And he said, yeah, right. And I said, I'm telling you, I feel something under my foot. It's not a rock. And I said, I'm afraid to move. If I move, I won't know, I'll lose it. So I said, you can swim over here and go down there and go under my foot and see what it is. Sure enough, he pulled out one tooth on a plate, and he said, that ain't yours. And I said, Harold, I put it in my mouth. I said, that's my tooth. Now that is a marker in my life. And when I can't find something, I say, God, if I don't find this, you got a reason. Because I could not have threw that in a swimming pool and found it. So that's a marker in my life. And I tell that sometimes, and I can't hardly believe it myself. But I still got one. So that's what I'm saying. Make markers in your life, because something that is impossible with us and looks impossible, God just might show up. Never give up. So I had a little fun with that one. let's put up 1 Kings 13, 1 through 3. Now this is another story that in the Bible that really, when I finally read it and found out what it was all about, and I think Pastor Louis had preached a message on it one time, and I thought, man, that's fantastic. So I started researching it. And it says, behold, a man of God went out from Judah, from Bethel, by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Go to the next one. And then he cried out against the altar. And by the word of the Lord, he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born in the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priest of the high places and burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. Go to the next one. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign in which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. Okay, that's pretty specific. Okay? So, let me see. So, what happened? You can read that story. You go on, the prophet, the king, the withered his hand. He prayed. I want the prophets to pay for him. But I want you to research that out yourself. I'm not going to go on any farther with that one. So, let's go. And I think this is 57 years later. Go to 2 Kings 23, 15 through 18. Let's see. Okay, 23:15. Moreover, The altar that thou hast was at Bethel, in the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, had made both that altar and the high places. He broke down and he burned the high places and crushed it to powder, and he burned the wooden images. Now here's, before I go on with that, this is Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And Josiah started hunting for the Word of God. So they found the Word of God and they brought it to Josiah. So he started turning things upside down. So he don't even know about this part. He don't know about this part. Okay, go to the next one. And Josiah turned and saw the tombs that were on the mountain. And he sent and took the bones out of the tombs. And he burned them on the altar and defiled it. And according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. And he said, what are these gravestones? And what is this that I see? So the men of the city told him, it is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and proclaimed these things, and which you have just done on the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. Let no one move his bones, so they let his bones alone and the bones of the prophet who came from Samaria. So here's Josiah. He finds the word of God, but yet he doesn't know this until they tell him, this is what was prophesied of you. So that was like 57 years later that this came about, just like God said. So that tells me that God knows exactly where we're at all times, and he knows if he speaks something, a prophecy, it's coming to pass. So just like he said that it would be poured out on all flesh, the Spirit of God. So we're in them days. We're in them glorious days. And we just, like Pastor Troy was preaching his heart out, that we have to start operating in the supernatural because it is for us. It is for these days. And we know that the times are wicked. We know they are. We see what's going on, but what's happening there is nothing new. It was back in, I remember when you on the Mount Carmel when they killed all the prophets of Baal. They cut them up. So that was dealing with the sin. So that's where we're at now. So let me see. So what I'm saying with this is that as we read our Bibles and we come to Revelations and we see that in the end, we win. Right? We win. Pat, I don't want to take up all your time. But I just want to say that no matter where you at in your life, I've been through a lot of junk and I'm still here. And it's only by the grace of God. It's nothing that I have done, but he has led me. And when I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, then I live my life. I try to be a man of integrity. I try to do what I say I do. If I'm going to say I'm going to be at your place, I'm going to walk in love towards you or whatever, I want to do it with God's heart. I want to serve you as a pastor in this body, which I'm blessed to be in, that we're here for you. We're here to love you. And I know you guys love us or you wouldn't have showed up tonight. So I'm going to turn this over to Patty. And thank you for your time.
He's so cute, isn't he cute? That's my guy. I need my glasses, too. I see you putting yours on and off, so am I. You could have kept going, you know. That was really good. You could have kept going. Okay, I'm going to say a prayer, though, before I start. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. I'm so grateful. And Holy Spirit, just walk among us and touch and do what you do, just like we've prayed before the last time, because we're here for you. We're as a conduit for you. So, Lord, that I might speak the words you would have me speak and not say what I don't need to say. And, Lord God, that every heart in here, including my own, is touched by your power, changed by your power. And we just thank you for it all, Lord. You're just so good. Just a closer walk with you, Jesus. That's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're in revival culture. Relational culture is what Pastor is bringing down from the top. And we're excited because it's about family. And if you were here last week and heard us talk, I'm very serious about that concept because I believe it with all my heart that we're family. And we might not be living in the same houses and things, but when we come together here, we are in one house, and it's God's house, and he is the father of this house, and he is the father of this family. So it's a very serious thing. It's so profound. It's amazing. I'm going to try to stay with my notes this time. Okay. The goodness of God, that's what we're talking about. The goodness of God leads to repentance in Romans 2:4. An example, as Lowell had shared last week, that he was going to prove there was no God. And he would prove it by coming home and reading the Bible, which was really amazing. And it was like, cha-ching, go ahead, read the Bible. And God's love got a hold of Lowell in reading the Bible. And as we're saying, the Bible is a love book. I see it as a love book from beginning to end, over and over. God is so awesomely wonderful. What a great love story he has left us. I'm going to start with, the Lord gave me an example kind of in the night where I'm going with what I'm going to say about all of this. And it's that we just kind of think of ourselves at a doorway. Just say we're all at the doorway of heaven. This is very real to me right now because that's where my father is. And he's more maybe in the hallway of before the doorway to heaven. And so I'm watching this process with my father and my mother. My father is 89, will be 90 in a week, and my mother is 90. They have been married for 69 years. And they are in a transition that I find, even as a Christian, so hard for them, and what they're going through, in that place that they're at, in facing eternity. But by the goodness of God, we made sure my dad saved this last week, got to pray with him again, lead him in a prayer because he was telling me I had prayed with him before. He's got these big blue eyes. And I had prayed with him before and I put my chin on his chest. I said, come on, Daddy, let's pray. Follow me in a prayer. We'll make sure you're getting to heaven because you're afraid you're not. But I know you are, but we'll make sure. So he did. He did. And in the meantime, a good thing that happened, we had shared on Facebook, was we got to lead his roommate in the nursing home to the Lord, Jerome, big old guy. Big tough fighter all his life. And we got to share with his friend Bob. He made these two little buddies. It's so cute that all of them in their wheelchairs. And Bob, we got to speak to Bob about the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. So there is the doorway to heaven. But let's just think about, we stand before that doorway all the time, you know it? We might not think about it, but we're there. It's there. It's before us. And think about it in the regard that it keeps us in mind of the goodness of God, that it reminds us of the price that Jesus Christ paid for us, the sacrifice he laid down his life for, and what he gave for us, and the cup he drank for us. And then really it can help dictate how we are grateful, how we do things in our life. But in our everyday life, we walk away from the door because we live an everyday life. And then circumstances take over in our life, and then sometimes they get bigger than the sensing and the memory, like Lo was saying, the memorial of the door. It becomes dim, and the circumstances become greater, and sometimes the circumstances overweigh us. If I did not know the Lord like I do now, I don't know if I could go through what we're going through now, because it's very heavy. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. The goodness of God is, it's just to see God working in the midst of this time with, is just another way of the Lord poking us on the chest and saying, see, I'm right here. This is what it's all about. It's all about that doorway. That's what it's all about. It's all about sonship. It's all about daughter, being a daughter, being a son like we shared last week. That means we're descendants of the Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the patriarch of it all. So as we go through life, we go away from that. And I got to thinking, and I had read something that kind of prompted this in my spirit. I felt of the Holy Spirit to take these notes down from it. But it's in my own language. And it's Okay, what are the obstacles that would keep us from recognizing and keep us with a heart that is in constant or consistent concern for the love of God in our life and the awareness of Him? And one of them is that we become ungrateful sometimes. And in ungratefulness, we hinder the goodness and the flow of the goodness of God to our hearts because we're concentrating on other things. And so God is for us. He's not against us. We can't give up. We've got to continue to say, Lord, you know, I don't get it all, but I'm grateful for this or I'm grateful for that. And those are the memories that both pastors have spoken about since last week. What are the good things God has done in your life? Like, I can go through this situation right now and say, you know, my dad is, you know, he's not going to be here pretty soon. But I choose not to do that because I see the goodness of God, that I know where he's going to spend eternity, number one. And number two, look what he did for these other two guys. I mean, God is so good. He didn't have to do that. So I'm forever grateful. Number two, some things are not fine in our life. Some things we go through, they're not fine. But you know what? That's okay. Because we all go through things that are not fine. It's okay to cry. Jesus cried. It's okay. It doesn't mean that we lack faith or that we're weak. It's all right. We grieve. We go through grieving. I'm sure that in this process of time, you might catch me crying about what I'm going through. But it doesn't mean that I don't have roots ground deep in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that I don't trust him. Okay? So it's like, you know, just, you. Excuse me, you can cry. It's okay. Kind of got to thinking about all of that. Pity parties. Well, when you have a pity party, it's usually not by yourself. That's why it's called a pity party. I found out through the years that pity parties are usually joined in. You can get others to join your pity party. But we have to make a choice. Let's not have pity parties. Let's just say, nope, we don't go there. I choose to believe the goodness of God. I choose to believe that he's on my side. And I choose to believe that he forever will be. That he never changes. He's always for me. I might not get what's going on. And it might make me sad. And I might not have understanding. But it doesn't mean I should go into a pity party. So when you're around people that pity party, we have to challenge them to come up. Come out of there. You can't live there, okay? Okay. We cannot buy happiness. Happiness is not eternal. It's temporary. And we should look to the things that satisfy us more, like good relationships, deep friendships, the friendship of Jesus Christ. Look to those kind of things for happiness because that's eternal. You know, and in the body of Christ, what's so great about us being a family is we are eternally going to go together to heaven. We're forever, you know, we're forever stuck with each other. I don't know if that's good all the time. We are. If we make that choice to really be that to each other and to see ourselves that way, why fuss? I mean, we got a long time together. So might as well get used to each other and all these personalities. You know, I could go off like Pastor Troy said. I could go in a whole other thing about the disciples there, but that's not for tonight. In Romans 8, 37, 38, and 39, the Lord, did I give you that scripture? Yes, there we go. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you read that over and over and see all those things it's talking about, there's not anything can separate us. So thank you, God, for that. That's good to know, isn't it? All right. Don't compare ourselves among ourselves. I'm not giving you numbers on these things, but this is another one. Don't compare ourselves among ourselves. I have gone through several of these things in my journey with the Lord, which is quite a while now, more than 30 years of just the training in the body and just doing things in the church. And I had to learn, don't compare ourselves among ourselves. And I speak that honestly because when you first come into the church, oftentimes you're like, oh, I want to do this, I want to be that. And we have come through a time, like Pastor has just said, it's not those big names anymore. And there was a time when we all just wanted to be that. I want to be that. Well, maybe it's not for God in us to be that. It's to be who we are. It's to be a son or a daughter and to do what he puts before us to do. Just do it. Do the things he puts before us, and then things happen and your gifts make room for you. And they're your gifts individually. They're my gifts individually. They have nothing to do with each other. We're not at all alike. We'd be pretty boring if we were all the same. But we all have this different gifting, and we all have these different personalities, and we're to make a big old blend of what God wants us to be and how he sees us. Let's see. Oh, don't envelop yourself with contrary influences. You are who you hang out with. Hang out with the eagles. On the way here tonight, we saw four eagles out by where we live. And it was so majestic. I mean, oh, it was beautiful. We're like, look, look. And hang out with the eagles. Soar with the eagles. Hang out with moms and dads in the body. The mothers and the fathers. The mentors that are here. The teachers that are here. Hang out because they'll bring you up higher. They'll bring us up higher. They bring me up higher. So that's who to hang out with. Don't hang out with people that have a contrary thing to say all the time and everything's the opposite of the flow of what everybody else is doing. You run into trouble like that. Okay? Don't entertain jealousy. This is big because jealousy is a big green giant. Jealousy is green. Jealousy, envy, strife. That's what it does in the church. It's in the word. Jealousy, it all turns and it causes strife. And it's an ugly thing. Actually, it's demonic. As far as I am concerned. And it's something that we have to get a hold of. We all can enter into it at any time, any given time. When we have those little feelings inside of us, look what they're doing, and why am I not doing that? Or how come I don't have that, and they have that? It could be about anything. But you know, God in his goodness and his love, he gets it. He gets why we would do that. But then if we wait on him, like Lois sang, that prophecy that took all those years to come about, we wait on him, the goodness of God unfolds in our life, and he unfolds in us what he has us do that is not like the other person or the other thing. So it's not about those things that we might be have jealousy towards. As we said last week, again, it's about being a son and a daughter. We have a king. We have a father. It's awesome. Okay, stop following the path. I love this one. Stop following the path of the least resistant. Push through. Just do it. Like Pastor Troy was preaching. Do it. What's put before you, just do it. Whether you challenge yourself. I speak from experience big. I used to be very shy. I would never speak in front of people. You couldn't get me in front of people. In high school, I got F's because I wouldn't speak in front of people. And then we got in the church and Pastor Louis started kind of like pulling me by the collar. You know, and different things, putting me in different things. And I really kicked against it quite a bit. Maybe he didn't see me, but Lowell did. And says, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. But God had another plan. And I submit more to it now. Not always like I should. But I submit to it more now to do what he wants. Because there is no greater joy in my heart right now, in my own life, I speak, than to be able to share the word of God with y'all. And to be able to say, you know, how God loves you. Because I sure God how he loves me. Because I know what he brought us from, as you heard some of our testimony last week. And that was just part of it. So God is so good. Isn't God good? All the time. All the time. So be courageous. Be courageous. Something comes before you to do and you're challenged, do it. Just do it. God says he'll make you strong when you're weak. Okay. Have a forehead of flint. I love that scripture. That's in Isaiah 50, verse 7. And I looked up flint, and flint is a hard rock that when struck against steel, it causes a fire. It causes a flint, a fire. Have a forehead of flint in the body of Christ. If we all decided to have that and pursue what God has and the supernatural he has for us, and just to pursue sonship even, look what we could do. Look what we could change. As a group. Because, I mean, if it's one spark, we got a pretty big fire going on. So in Jesus' name, I just pray you all have a forehead of flint. Don't run from the problem. That won't change a problem. Encounter the problem. Face it. If you don't acknowledge something, you can't change it. So I've had to acknowledge in my life, and I always say to you about my life, I have had to acknowledge weaknesses, fears, bad attitudes, when I had to repent more times than anybody would know except Jesus. So acknowledge it. And then as soon as you acknowledge it and you say, Father, okay, change me, forgive me, make me more like you, it's done. He does it. It's not a hard thing. God made it very easy, actually. We make it hard. Let's see. This is what forms us, and this is what makes us. Mistakes make us. When we come through something and there's mistakes in our life, if we'll take that mistake, like it says in the Word with Joseph, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God turned it around for the good. Look for the good in everything that's happening. Because there's always good, because God's always there. And He's a good God. God doesn't do bad things. That's not of God. All right. We cannot look to others for happiness. This is the last one. We cannot look to others for happiness. Because the goodness of God is where our true joy comes from. We don't get it from anybody else. We don't get it from our spouse. We don't get it from our best friend. We don't get it from who we're talking to. Not really. True happiness comes from the Lord. And the contentment in our lives to know that He can sustain us. He'll bring us through. And that encompasses us trusting Him in any given situation when we don't understand everything. But He's there. He is so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name. That's in Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And I was thinking about the word, about taste, and this is where I'm ending right here because I think we're done for time. So I got this glass of water because I'm a very visual person. I'm one of those that's artistic. I can't remember what side of the brain that is, but that's me. My right side? Okay, I'm right-sided in my brain. And that is, I think visual. I see, everything's visual. It's in colors, it's in, everything's like that. That's just how it is. So, this is visual. Now, if I showed you this glass of water, which looks kind of cloudy, but forgive that. If I showed you this glass of water, what would it be to you? Is this half full, or is this half empty? And you might probably be going to say, well, some of you will say half full, but for the most part, you'll say it's half empty. You drank half of it. So I'm referring to taste and see that the Lord is good. So say this glass of water represented Jesus Christ, represented the Father God, represented the Holy Ghost in our life. And I took of it. And I drank half of it. And I tasted it. And I saw that it was good. Would this still be half empty? Or would it be half full? And I believe it's half full. So that's Jesus. That's our Father. That's the Holy Ghost. Taste and see that He is good. So now I'm going to pray over you guys, okay? Lord, I just thank You in the name of Jesus Christ and declare over the lives that are represented here the goodness of You, the love of You, that Father God, You enlarge their boundaries in the name of Jesus Christ. Enlarge and Father, encompass them like they have never known before. Father, even if they don't feel it, we don't go by feelings. Don't feel it right now, that in the days to come they are aware something good has happened. Something changed. Lighten them up, Lord. Take the heaviness off the shoulders in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliver us, O God, in the name of Jesus, where we need to be delivered from things that bind us and set us, Father God, in captivity. Father God, forgive our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, those things that beset us, O God. Lead us in the right path, Father. That's all You desire. Father God, we love You. You are our Father. We are Your sons and Your daughters, and we acknowledge it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we know that the footsteps of the righteous, they are ordered of You. You ordered them here tonight, and Father God, what they heard tonight was what You wanted them to hear. So You get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know if how many of you is here Sunday or not, but the lady was doing the Black History Month. And she said, the soul would have no rainbow if the eyes had no tears. And I thought that was fantastic, that promise, that rainbow, sometimes it does come with tears. But God's got a plan for us